You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 31. It's our second last episode of the summer series. We'll be discussing Blues, Coyotes, Devils, Penguins, and we have Tyler Mataraz talking Ottawa Senators prospects. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to episode 31 of the Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at DPR_show. I am once again with my co-host Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Big news today, Peter. Huge news. Tell the listeners all about it.
Yeah, we got a couple of news stories. But the first one I want to get to is Daryl Dobbs, Dauber from Dauber Hockey, is, as many of our listeners already know, is in a bit of a battle with cancer. And today is kind of a big day for him. He receives his stem cell transplant today. He's calling it day zero. For more information, you can follow him on Twitter. He's been providing some updates on his condition, but today's a really big day for him. And I'm not sure if he's able to listen to our show with what he's going through, but if he does find time to give it a listen, we're thinking of you, Dauber. Keep up the good fight. And I want to dedicate this show, the first time we've done that, to Dauber for what he's going through. So that being said, let's get on to our other announcement, and I'll let you break the big news on this, since you've done all the legwork for it.
Yeah, we are officially on Patreon.com. You can support us in multiple ways. A $1 per month, a $3 per month, $5. You can find our support page, patreon.com/DPRshow. A lot of different things that you're going to get from us. A $1 pledge is just knowing that you're going to support us and keep us on the airwaves. $3 gets you into the infamous CHL fantasy pool. We were tweeting about it a couple days ago and on our DPR_show account, and we got a lot of attention and a lot of people saying, yeah, they're in. So only $3 a month will get you into that, and it'll be through office pools. We have not officially signed it up yet, so we will have more information about that. A $5 pledge gets you top five in pretty much every non-professional league, NCAA, CHL. We're going to do a KHL top five. We're going to have a bunch of different monthly top fives that we will put out to the Patreon public. So if you become a patron, you'll get those top fives, and you can be in a fantasy pool, and you can know that you're helping us out and keeping us on the airwaves. So that's once again patreon.com/DPRshow. We're really excited about it, and we're ready to put a lot more work into it and hopefully upgrade some equipment. And we got some goals set that we hope to eventually hit. Some are a little far-fetched and kind of having some fun with it, and others are, immediate, like a SoundCloud membership to get all of our episodes on SoundCloud. So once we hit a certain amount, you can see our goals on patreon.com/DPRshow.
Yeah, and I'm actually not recording this in a submarine, so if we had a little bit of funding, I'd be able to afford proper microphone so that it doesn't sound like I'm in a tin can. If there's anything else you'd also be interested in receiving as Patreon rewards, let us know. Shoot us a message on our Twitter account, and I've been looking into getting some swags, t-shirts or hats with the podcast logo on it. That's a possibility. So yeah, if there's things that you'd be interested in, by all means let us know. All right, Paul, let's talk some prospects. That's enough business, yeah? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's go right into the Pittsburgh Penguins. This might be a little quick for you, Peter, but we left you to break down the Penguins prospect roster, and you have 5 minutes, and I'm sure you're not going to use that amount of time. Let's start with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
All right. Yeah, I'll start it off by saying another thing that's coming on Dauber soon, our Dauber prospect soon, is we're doing an updated organizational rankings. A bunch of the writers we're doing a consensus ranking, taking into account a lot of factors. And no surprise, Pittsburgh was at the very bottom of my list. Their prospect pool is, like, shallow. So the first player I'll talk about is goaltender Tristan Jarry. He's 63% owned on Fantrax. And he's a second-year pro. His first year in the NHL was a little bit rocky, but last year he really got his game together. He's a solid second season. He's still forecast to be in the AHL this coming season, so don't think that he's going to come in and compete with Matt Murray for the starting job. Probably not going to happen this year. The Dauber Prospect Report forecasts him to play 11 games, 4 wins, so not fantasy relevant now. But you never know. If Matt Murray gets a serious injury, which has not been out of the question in the past, and if Antti Niemi, who is signed as their backup, if he fails, which also not really a stretch, then all of a sudden you could find Tristan Jarry playing big minutes for the Pittsburgh Penguins in net for a stretch this season. And even if that doesn't happen, I think he's playing full time in the NHL next year as Matt Murray's backup.
Yeah, I think the Antti Niemi signing kind of hurts his stock a little bit in the next year future. But down the road, a year and a half, 2 years away, Tristan Jarry's definitely going to be pushing Matt Murray, just like Matt Murray was pushing Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't think Jarry will steal the job, but he's got the talent that he could definitely push to be a 1A, 1B down the road. So, yeah, I would definitely think 63%, he should be a little more owned than that.
And the Emmy signing is good because you don't want to rush him in the NHL. I think another season of solid starts in the AHL would be good for his long-term development. So the next player on my list is someone who's got a lot of experience with AHL development. That's defenseman Derek Pouliot. He's 61% owned. So this is a former first-round pick, and his profile, his stock has been dropping, and his NHL games played over the last 3 years has been declining as well. 3 years ago, he played 34 games, and then 2 years ago, that dropped to 22. Last season, he only played 11 games in the NHL. So this is an offensive defenseman. He's got good size. He's a first-round pick, so he's got a pedigree that commands he gets a couple of second and third opportunities. You can rest assured that Chris Letang will get injured, and that'll create an opportunity for an offensive defenseman to come up again. But it's time for this guy to seize the moment and the opportunity when he gets it. His offensive game, as I said, is good. He's got good size. His decision-making away from the puck is what's keeping him out of the NHL, and that's something that's hard for a lot of players to shake some of those bad habits. They just lack the hockey sense defensively, and that could be the issue with Pouliot, in which case it would mean that he's unlikely to ever make it in the NHL. So this is, I think, the make-it-or-break-it year for him.
Yeah, back when Dan Bialis was the coach, he looked like he was going to crack the roster, and then he fell into Mike Johnston's doghouse and never really climbed out of it. And coming out of World Juniors, he looked great for Team Canada World Juniors back when he played for Team Canada. But yeah, he just couldn't take his game to the next level. He had that great offensive push, but he's not that well in the defensive zone. So that's kind of what's harmed him. And his offense isn't good enough to carry his terrible defense. So he's got to learn to play the game, and hopefully the AHL seasoning has helped him out. What about a forward for the Penguins? Is there anybody kind of maybe coming?
Yeah, we've talked about Zach Aston-Reese a few times on the show. He's a college free agent. He was a Hobey Baker finalist in his fourth year in the NCAA last year. He led the league, or in the NCAA, in scoring with 31 goals in 38 games, and he was tied with a couple other players for points overall at 63 points. He played the last 10 regular season AHL games last year as well for Wilkes-Barre Scranton. He managed to produce 3 goals and 5 assists in that short audition. So it's remains to be seen where he's going to play this season. He likely plays in the AHL. He's got only 54% Fantrax ownership on his file, so he's widely available. And he's got multiple position eligibility. He's a versatile player. He can play either forward positions in the wing or center as well. So he's versatile. He's got that going for him. So he's a player I think you maybe want to put on your watch list in most leagues. And if you're in a deep, deep league, he's someone who you might want to take a chance on.
Yeah, having that dual eligibility or tri-eligibility is going to help him crack the Penguins roster maybe halfway through the year when injuries start floating up, because they like to mix and match their their lines every once in a while to try and get Malkin and Crosby going. So if he can land on one of those wings due to an injury or guys going cold, like a Connor Sheary who's shown at times that he can't keep a scoring line role, maybe Reese gets called up or Aston Reese gets called up and maybe does like a Jake Guentzel, kind of shows up and makes a name for himself on one of the lines, and they can't send him back down. So hopefully that happens with Aston Reese. But yeah, I'd keep him on your watch list for sure.
Yeah, one last player for Pittsburgh that's forward, who's probably available, who's only 6% owned, is Adam Johnson. So this is another free agent signing this offseason by the Penguins. He's coming out of the NCAA as well. He's a speedy player. He's got decent size. He's got a hard shot. He's for sure going to play in the AHL, so he's not going to help you out this year, but in a keeper league, someone you want to be aware of and maybe just pay attention to see how he does in the A.
All right, perfect. We said it was going to be short. It only four guys, the Penguins, that we even think might be worth owning in maybe smaller leagues. A lot deeper leagues, you go a lot deeper, and the summer series, we're kind of keeping it to this year, what we think this year is going to happen, guys on the cusp. All right, let's move on to the New Jersey Devils, and we got to start at the big one, the big guy, Nico Hischier, 92% owned in Fantrax. Tell us a little bit more about Hischier now that he's with the Devils.
Yeah, all right, so lots of players on the Devils to talk about. Starting at the top, like you said, Hischier, 92% Fantrax owned. He's obviously the first overall pick. We've talked about him a lot on the show before. He's going to likely start playing in the NHL this season. I think he's going to start in a top six role. The injury to Travis Zajac that was announced a few weeks ago is going to give him an even better opportunity to cement himself a top six role. First line center is a possibility now for sure. The Dauber Prospects Guide, we put him down as a forecast of 58 points and 22 goals. I'm a little bit more modest. I'm thinking more around the 40 point range, but that was before the Zajac injury was announced, so I think it'd be safe to bump that up to closer to the 50-point range. He's also, spoiler alert, I would consider him to be a Calder candidate, an early Calder candidate in the top five range. New Jersey's long been a defensive-minded team. They've been playing to their strength for generations, which has been guys like Martin Brodeur, Scott Niedermeyer, Scott Stevens. When you have players like that, you play a defensive game, and it worked. All those players are now like long gone. And the management team that put that organization together is long gone as well. So it's a new regime there now. And it looks to me like through the drafting of Hischier and some of the other moves that they've made, that they're looking at embracing a more offensive style of hockey. So that'll be refreshing for New Jersey fans who haven't, you know, been able to cheer for a lot of goals every time they go to games. And it'll also be refreshing for fantasy players. And we now have New Jersey is not a barren wasteland of fantasy players. They've got some guys on the come that you're going to want to own.
Yeah, I was going to say Lou is out and Ray Sherrill is in, and Ray Sherrill helped build what the Penguins have right now. Yeah, he put his stamp on the early Penguins before they went on their three-cup run. But yeah, so Ray Sherrill's building quite an offensive juggernaut, and he added a guy. The Butcher watch is over. Will Butcher decided to leave the Colorado Avalanche and went and looked elsewhere into free agency, just graduated from Denver University, and he picked the Devils. That's kind of a big deal. And what do you think of Butcher being added to the Devils?
Nice timing by him to sign with them in between the last episode and this one when we decided to talk about New Jersey. That certainly is good timing. So he won the Hobie Baker Award in his fourth and final year at Denver College. What's concerning to me is that he played in Denver and was drafted by the Avalanche, so he's already living out there. You'd have to think that he would have some sort of roots and familiarity, and I've never been, but I understand it's a beautiful place. And the fact that he wanted no part to do with the Colorado Avalanche organization is concerning. And if you look at their defense, it's not like he didn't have just as good as an opportunity he's going to have in New Jersey to make in the NHL as a rookie. So I'm not sure what was the reason for his departure, other than he just sees them as a team that's trending in the wrong direction. I mean, they're like one of the worst teams in the NHL, but it would seem to me that Butcher thinks that's the way they're going, and that New Jersey's got a bit of a brighter future, and at the same time, he still has an opportunity to break in and play a top six role right now. He's 66% owned on Fantrax, and if you look at the New Jersey's blue line, like I just talked about, You've got Green and Lovejoy as the top pairing, and then you're probably looking at something like Moore and Santini in the middle six. Damon Severson, I think, would be hard to knock out of the NHL at this point. So that leaves one position on their blue line. So Will Butcher, I think, is the guy that's going to get the job. They have another player that they signed as a free agent, Deblenko, coming over from Russia. He certainly gives them depth. Maybe those guys alternate in and out of the roster. Another player who I'll talk about in a little bit, Mike Remuller, is another player that will compete for that position. But the early favorite, I think, has to go to Will Butcher, and you'd think that would be part of the reason why he signed and part of the offer that they made to him, that they would have pointed this out in their contract negotiations and said, position's yours if you want it. If you can play your way into it, like, we got a spot for you now. And he'll play on the power play, too. He's probably the most offensively gifted defenseman out of the group of guys I just named.
And this is a buyer beware. I'm throwing out a buyer beware on Will Butcher. I have him in the DPFHL, which is a salary cap league. If it's a cap hit of $925,000, if that's what we're going on, then by all means, he's worth that $925,000. But Fantrax now tracks annual average value, which is the AAV, which you can see on Cap Friendly and on Fantrax. He's $3.775 million. There's no way I'm putting him into my roster at $3.775. I don't think he's going to be worth that in his first year, maybe his second year, but he's going to be staying in my minors pretty much the entire year. So just a buyer beware from a guy that owns him. Make sure you know if you're playing Cap Hit or AAV. Fantrax now covers both. He may not be great value at $3.8 million, but he'll be great value at $925K. Peter, let's move on to your next devil.
Yeah, John Quenneville is a player that he's trending up hard in the right direction. I saw him play against the Marlies last season, a playoff game against with Albany, and I was impressed. I liked what I saw. He's got decent size. He's got great hands, wicked shot, gets around the ice real well. He's 55%. Fantrax owned. The Dauber Prospect Guide forecast him for 64 games, so the better part of the season, and 26 points. So depending on the depth of your league, that could be fantasy relevant or not. The Fantrax projection for him is 32 points. So Fantrax has forecast projections on their player page right now. If you want to do a little draft research and get an extra forecast, that's a place where you can go. He was the Albany's top player in the AHL last year for sure. He played 12 games in the NHL as well, and he had 4 points. So this is a player who I think is on the cusp of breaking full-time roster in the NHL.
All right, awesome. Any other forwards that should be on our watch list or pick guys up?
Yeah, he'll be in direct competition on the left wing with Miles Wood for playing time. Quenneville's got better top six upside. Miles Wood's got, I think, better bottom six potential. Woods is 6 foot 295 pounds, so he's got good size. He's only 35% owned, and the Dauber Prospect Report we have down for 19 points in 55 games, and Fantrax has him down for 23 points. So both are a little bit lower than Quenneville, but he led the New Jersey Devils in penalty minutes last season with 86. So if you have any bangers and mash sort of scoring categories, that could make him actually more valuable than Quenneville. And as mentioned before, we talked about on defense, Mike Remuller, just to follow up on that. So here's a player that was San Jose Sharks' first-round pick back in, I believe it was 2014. He has struggled to make an impression in pro hockey. He's played 3 years of pro. He's played for the San Jose Sharks AHL affiliate for a couple of years now, and they let him go. They gave him away in a trade that was mostly just draft pick swaps. He's 41% owned. The Dauber Prospect Report has him down for 64 games, but that was before the Will Butcher announcement, and 11 points. So it's safe to say that Will Butcher will cut into probably both those games played and ice time and lower his point value even further down than the 11 points. So the move to New Jersey could help his career a little bit with, you know, a fresh start with a new organization. And the New Jersey Devils did re-sign him to a 3-year contract, so they invested in him financially. Our San Jose Sharks writer, Zach Devine, wasn't sad to see him go, and in his last update, he had some comments about him that that raised the red flag, and that his play is very inconsistent. He's not good at creating transition offense. So this is Zach is a writer. He lives in California, so he saw him play live plenty last year, way more than me, which is why I deferred to what Zach had to say. And so it's not so good, but who knows? Maybe a change in scenery is just what the doctor ordered for Michael Mueller. But he's a player I would put on the trending downside. Trade him if you have him, and if you don't have him and you're interested, put him on your watch list at best. See how he does in the new organization.
Perfect, Peter. So that breaks down the Penguins and the Devils for our summer series. When we come back from the break, it's my turn. I get the St. Louis Blues and the Arizona Coyotes.
All right, we're back, and it's the second segment, so it's time to go out west. Paul's going to be talking about the St. Louis Blues and the Arizona Coyotes prospects. I'm excited to hear what he has to say about Coyotes because they've got a lot of players. But let's start with St. Louis, Paul. And who's the first guy on your list?
I'm going with there's a little bit of a theme in the St. Louis Blues guys that I'm looking at, and it's dual eligibility. I know I talk about it pretty much every single week, but I am a huge, huge fan of dual eligibility. It just gives you so much different options in your rostering day to day or even in weekly leagues. But I'm going to start off right off the top. Ivan Barbashev, 75% owned, center, left wing, 37 points in 46 games in the AHL for the Chicago Wolves. I'm not sure who the AHL team, where they're going to be playing their affiliate, St. Louis. Have they announced it yet, Peter? Do you know?
I believe they're staying in Chicago and splitting with Vegas.
And that makes sense because Vegas doesn't have a full roster. So, yeah, I guess that would make sense that they're going to stay in Chicago. But I don't think Barbashev's going to even have to worry about that. I think he's destined for the NHL. He's projected. I'm going to project him to be a third line this year. Last year's line mates, when he did play, he played with Ryan Reeves and Scotty Upshaw 37% of the time. He had some chances to play with Tarasenko and Schwartz, only 16% of his ice time. Those numbers are from Frozen Pool. You can find those on dobberhockey.com. You can see all their line mates and combinations there. This year, he could line up with Vladimir Sobotka and Dmitry Jaskin, who we will kind of mention later on. But if he gets more playing time with Tarasenko, Schwartz, Braden Schenn, Robbie Fabry, he could gain chemistry and stick with any one of those guys. And if he does stick with a combination of those guys, he's going to be potent, putting up points big time, especially Tarasenko, Schwartz. If he gets any more time than just 16% of his time, he's going to be an excellent, excellent grab. So 75% owned, Ivan Barbashev is my number one Blues prospect.
All right, my number one Blues prospect, and I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this guy. He's a player I watched play at the World Juniors live, and I was really impressed with him as the first live chance I got to watch him, and that's Tage Thompson.
Yeah, center right wing eligible, 64% owned in Fantrax. He turned pro at the end of last year, ended up playing in the A with the Wolves. 16 games, he scored only one goal and one assist. I think that has a lot to do with turning pro and being at the end of his NCAA school season, so he's probably tired and isn't ready to fully put his game to the professional level. But he's a dark horse to make the team out of camp. If he doesn't make it, he's going to be a mid-season call-up with injuries to the top six or nine. If he gets a top six scoring line role, I definitely think his ownership's going to skyrocket from 64%. Top nine, if he lands on the third line, it might be a little difficult to put up numbers, but I think I would rather have Barbashev than Thompson next year, but in the long run, I think I would rather have Thompson over Barbashev. So if you're dynasty and you got to decide between these two guys, Thompson over Barbashev in 1 year, I think Barbashev's going to be a late round, maybe last round sleeper pick that it's a high risk, high reward, I think. So Barbashev 1 year, Thompson dynasty. That's how I feel, Peter.
Fair enough. Hard to argue with that. The two more forwards that they have that I think are a little bit more locks to be in the NHL this year. They were in the NHL last year, but curious to know what you think their upside are. Zach Sanford and Dmitry Jaskin.
Yeah, and I think both of these guys, you said they're both pretty much locks to be in the NHL, and they're both 24% owned Jaskin and 28% owned Sanford. Sanford came over in the Shattenkirk deal, so the Blues are definitely high on him. 16 points in 25 games played with Washington last year, 5 points in 13 games with the Blues. I think that those are pretty decent numbers through 82 games. I think he's going to get 82 games. He's really going to be competing with Barbashev if he's in a bottom six role. I think Sanford's going to end up on the bottom six with a PRV, maybe Bo Bennett. Brodziak's going to be their centerman. I think Sanford is going to steal a bottom third, bottom half role. So he'll probably end up on the third line. He's going to put up better numbers than Thompson if they end up on the third line. I think Thompson needs scoring line minutes to be productive. But Sanford over Yaskin, and I think they're both should be more owned than 28% and 24%.
Nice. Let's move on to the back end. There's a couple defenseman prospects I want to talk to you about. One of them is my boy, Jake Walman. I've been high on him before. I'd like to hear what you have to say about Walman.
I think he could do what Pareko did a few years ago and kind of come out of nowhere. I know you've been high on him for a while, but I don't think the average fantasy fan even has Walman anywhere near being a fantasy-relevant player in one-year leagues. I think he could be a late-round guy that, if he gets the right kind of minutes, Jake Walman could steal a top four. Edmondson maybe is going to be the fourth guy on the top four with Petrangelo, Pareko, Bomeister, but I think Walman could outplay Edmondson. Edmondson had a pretty good playoffs, but the playoffs don't really sell the entire season. So I think Walman has a better chance than Edmondson at those top four spots. Power play time, it all depends on the 3-forward, 2-defense route. The Blues like to play 4 forwards, so Petrangelo gets line 1, Pareko gets line 2. I think they have to move to a 3-2 system because Petrangelo and Pareko are just too good on the power play to split them up. And now they got Jake Walman, who could be a power play 2 guy and have 4 forwards and 1 defense on the power play 2 unit. So if he gets power play time, Jake Walman is definitely needs to be owned.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure this is the year that Jake Walman plays in the NHL. He's just turning pro, but I think he's certainly going to play in the NHL. He's going to have fantasy upside. There's no question about that. The other defenseman is Jordan Schmaltz, Nick Schmaltz's brother. So the Schmaltz brothers, some St. Louis-Chicago rivalry going on. Is Jordan Schmaltz going to be in the NHL full-time?
I think he's going to fight for the 5, 6, 7 spots with Edmondson, Bortuzzo, and Schmaltz himself. There's only going to be probably one spot in there. Gunnarsson might be in there, so maybe he lands a 5-6. I would not want to see him as the 7th and put in and out of the lineup. I would like to see him with a full-time role to really put him as a fantasy-relevant player. But in 2 AHL years, he has 36 points in 71 games and 25 points in 42 games. Last year's AHL playoffs, he had 5 points in 8 games. So in a very small span of playoffs, he's put up some pretty decent numbers on the back end. So seeing those numbers, that's 50, 61 points in 113 games. So that's not too shabby at all.
Yeah, there's definitely more opportunity for younger players in the forward ranks with St. Louis this year than there is on the back end with some of the players that they lost in the offseason. Speaking of opportunity, let's move on to Arizona. So here's a team that I'm really high on. I think they've got a lot of high-end prospects. I think they're poised to do something similar to what the Leafs did last year, and that's take a big step forward on the strength of their young players. We've talked a lot about Clayton Keller, so let's spread it around a little bit. Let's talk about some of the other players, and let's start with Dylan Strome.
Yeah, Clayton Keller's 95% owned, which is you're not going to get your hands on Clayton Keller. Maybe when they open up the one-year leagues, his ownership will go down, but he's going to be draft-relevant in one-year leagues, keeper leagues, dynasty leagues. He's going to be well-owned. So let's move on to Dylan Strome, who's not far behind, 89% owned. Had 7 games last year to start the season. He got sent back after not producing much for the Coyotes. He had 1 assist in those 7 games. He has a much better chance of making the roster full-time this year. Nothing left to prove in the OHL. He didn't skip a beat. Heading back to the Erie last year, 35 games played, had 22 goals, 53 assists for 75 points in those 35 games. That's over 2 points per game. He's played alongside Alex Brinkett for the remainder of the year in Erie, so that definitely helps his point average. But I think Strome's really going to benefit from Derek Stepan joining this team. Stepan was brought over from the Rangers. It's going to help Strome in the fact that teams are going to key in on the Stepan line, but I think they're going to learn to key in on the Strome line. And I think Strome's going to get the second line minutes. Should mention Keller's going to play with Strome. Both should be drafted in one-year leagues. If Strome's going to be drafted in one-year leagues, you definitely should be bringing him up from the bench in your prospect leagues, your dynasty leagues. Strome is going to be playing NHL time this year.
Yeah, he's a must-own prospect. And he looked really good for Team Canada as well. All right, so let's talk about some of the other lesser-known guys. Christian Fisher, he played in the NHL last year. You think he's going to play full-time this year?
He should play full-time, but he's going to be in tough for any scoring line minutes. He's probably going to compete with Christian Dvorak and Nick Cousins, who we'll get to in a couple minutes. But I think he's going to have to make a case straight out of camp if he wants to roll with the Coyotes this year. He's 71% owned, and the Coyotes prospects, they're very high ownership because they've been just building a prospect cupboard for years upon years. And we've been saying, oh, the Arizona Coyotes are so deep with their prospects. Well, these prospects are starting to come, and they're starting to show that they're ready for NHL minutes. So I think Christian Fisher's going to play in the NHL probably for the majority of the year, probably 60, 70 games, but I don't think they're going to be scoring line minutes. So you're going to have to watch what kind of minutes he's getting, who he's playing with. He's a right winger, so the center depth down the middle with Strome and Stepan, Fisher could find a role with one of those two, but I think he's going to hit a third or fourth line.
All right, you mentioned Brendan Perlini. He's a player who I've been finding inconsistent. There's been stretches where he looked great, and then he's had some injuries, and they kind of set him back a little bit. He went back to junior when he looked like he was going to play in the NHL for a year. Where's his game at?
This guy's definitely going to be fighting with Christian Fisher for minutes. They're opposite wings, left wing and right wing. Perlini's the left winger, 74% owned. He's likely going to land on a third line with the Coyotes, playing alongside Jamie McGinn, Tobias Reeder, maybe even a Lawson Crouse, who's a bangers and mash potential. Lawson Crouse, if you need the penalty minutes and the hits and the blocks, Lawson Crouse is definitely a guy you should be looking at. Perlini, yeah, he's going to be a third line guy, and I don't see him moving up at all into the top six.
All right, and they acquired Nick Cousins from Philadelphia in the offseason. He's now 24, which kind of makes him one of the elder statesmen in Arizona. He's been a bit of a career AHL player and a prolific scorer for Lehigh Valley in his career. Do you think he's going to play AHL or NHL with the Coyotes?
I think he's going to be a third or fourth line guy, and I really wanted to point this guy out because he's 28% owned. He's dual eligible center left wing, and he's going to be taking faceoff. So he's going to pick up faceoff wins from a left wing spot. So if you're looking to key in on getting some more faceoffs, I definitely think picking up Nick Cousins to play in a left wing role is going to help your faceoffs. And he's also going to help in the penalty minutes, the hits, and the blocks. So I really think Cousins is going to be their energy guy, and they really wanted to bring him over to the Coyotes to be the energy guy, and they need a guy that just gets the team going, and I think Nick Cousins is going to be that guy. And the key point is the dual-eligible left-wing spot taking face-offs permanently. If that changes and he ends up just being a centerman, I don't think Nick Cousins is going to do much for you, but that left-wing taking face-offs is huge if you're looking for face-off wins. All right, let's move down to the defenseman, Kyle Wood, 40% owned. There may not be a top four spot available with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, Alex Goligoski, Jacob Chychrun taking that fourth spot. If he lands on a bottom pairing spot, he should produce a little bit. I think the addition of Hjalmarsson really halted any real defensive prospects from making the leap to the NHL. You got Wood, you got Kevin Connaughton, Luke Shen, all fighting for those bottom pairing spots. I think Kyle Wood's going to get one of those spots. I'd rather have Kyle Wood than Kevin Connaughton, and it shows with his 40% ownership over Connaughton's 8% ownership. So Connaughton I did want to bring up, but just because he's got such low ownership. So if he steals a bottom six role, if Connaughton wins the battle over Kyle Wood, then make sure you pick up Connaughton, 8% owned, but I would rather have Kyle Wood at 40% owned.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kyle Wood too. I think he's you don't want to find a prospect that had much better progress in his career than Wood had last year. His first year pro was just tremendous. All right, so that's it for the Coyotes and the Blues in the West. We did New Jersey and Pittsburgh in the East. Now it's time to go back to the East with our guest from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, Tyler Mataraz. He's coming on to talk to us about some Ottawa Senators prospects. They got some good ones, some guys who are going to be fantasy relevant immediately, and then a couple more who were potentially fantasy relevant in a little bit. So hang on a minute and listen to that. I'm a traveler above time and space to be Welcome back to the show. It's time to talk a little Sens prospects, and we're pleased to be joined now by SiriusXM NHL Network Radio's Tyler Mataraz, who's going to talk to us all things Sens prospect. Tyler, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm a subscriber to the your channel, and listen to you guys day in and day out. So it's kind of cool to have one of you join our show. So let's get down and talk some Sens prospects, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start with the big one. We've talked about him at length on the show, wrote about him quite a bit on the site, and I think this is a player that's going to be worth the hype. Thomas Chabot. He's aged out of junior hockey, almost made the Sens last year. What are you looking for from Chabot this season?
Yeah, it's funny, right when you say Sens prospects, I think everyone starts their conversation with Thomas Chabot, and we've talked about him a lot at NHL Network Radio throughout the years, and just watching him at the Memorial Cup, watching some highlights of him, and you don't get to see too many QMJHL games in Ontario, but when you do, this guy just stands out, and he's, for the most part, the best player on the ice every night, and watching him for Team Canada, again, at the Mem Cup, he can be an elite defenseman in the NHL. And when you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, this is a guy, and you don't maybe want to compare him to a Zach Werenski, because we saw Werenski come in for Columbus and just look like a stud. It looked like he was in the league for a couple of years already. But you kind of have that feeling that Chabot could do the same thing in Ottawa, and he's pretty much going to make the team barring something drastic. So a lot of us have him slotted in. And in keeper leagues, he's on everyone's team for the most part already. But if you're in another fantasy league that drafts every year, this is a guy that you probably want to look at in a mid-round. But if you got him in a keeper league, you're pretty set. This guy looks like a stud. He can put up a lot of points, put up a lot of assists, and get some power play time. If he's playing with Erik Karlsson at some point, this guy's points will shoot up for sure.
Yeah, he's 87% owned on Fantrax, which is actually kind of low for being such a stud mm-hmm. prospect. Like the Clayton Keller's a 97% owned. So just to put that in perspective, that Chabot is that much lower than most of the Calder candidates. Is he going to be in the Calder conversation the entire year?
Oh, without a question. And we were kind of talking about it at the radio station. We might start a pool and start some predictions for the Calder, but when we were talking about it, just kind of in our first conversations, this is the guy that I had winning. And there's some good forwards. Obviously, Nico Hischier is probably up there if and when he makes the New Jersey Devils. Charlie McAvoy as well in Boston. You can go down the list with a lot of good rookies this year. But Thomas Chabot has a very, very good chance in Ottawa, maybe playing with Karlsson. He probably won't start in the first pairing, obviously. But if he gets to and gets some power play time, this guy could put up a ton of points and garner some Calder votes without a doubt.
Yeah, an opportunity opened up on Erik Karlsson's defense pairing with the loss of Mark Methot in the expansion draft. So there's a golden opportunity for him to create some points for himself just playing with Karlsson. Okay, let's talk about the other blue chip prospect the Sens have, Colin White. He had a little bit of a look at the pro level last year, started off in the AHL, wasn't happy about it, played his way up to the NHL, didn't look great there. Where do you guys think Colin White's going to play the majority of the season?
Colin White should play the majority of the season in the NHL. The Ottawa Senators have said since they drafted him that they're highly regarding him as a top six forward. And when you take a guy in the first round, obviously that should be the case in most cases. But Colin White, you're expecting him to make the team. But when you're looking at the Ottawa Senators roster, with all the players that they have, especially the depth in their bottom six, who really knows if he makes it? He'll probably have to really impress. It wouldn't be the worst thing if he started down in the American Hockey League with the Belleville Senators. But Colin White's a guy that he came in there for the postseason. I think he got into a game in the playoffs, if my memory serves me correctly. But Guy Boucher didn't really want to use him in those spots where a young player might make a couple mistakes. So he'll obviously have to get some games under his belt. But when you're looking at him offensively for fantasy, this guy put up numbers when he was in college, and that's why he was drafted 21st overall. So the Ottawa Senators have pretty high expectations for Colin White, and I'd love to see him in a Sens uniform to start the year. It'll just be a bit tough to crack that roster because it's so deep.
Yeah, they got Turris, Brassard, Pageau up the middle. Is it possible he could move to a wing to hit the top six and maybe compete with Ryan Stone, Hoffman, maybe Zingle, who made a good name for himself last year. Is there a chance he moves to the wing, or is he definitely staying at center?
From what I've heard, I think Colin White wants to play center. A lot of these guys that play center or just play the wing in college and growing up, when they're on the U18 and U17 teams, they're pretty used to playing one position. But I'm sure if Guy Boucher asks him and says, hey, do you want to play the wing and you'll be on the team? I'm sure Colin White and most players in the NHL will say yes to that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he started on the wing. I want to see this guy in the NHL. I want to see what he has.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of players who might be a little bit more wait time before they play in the NHL. Logan Brown is had an interesting season. Some people are a little bit disappointed. I've seen some people go as far as to call him a bust already. So yes, he missed the World Juniors, so that was disappointing, and he was limited to only 35 games played last year. But in those 35 games, he scored 40 points and he won a Memorial Cup. So is there a cause for concern with his game right now, or is he doing just fine and his future is very bright?
I think his future is even brighter than that. And just watching him, I watched all those Memorial Cup games, and this guy is a standout out there. And the one thing the Ottawa Senators saw when they drafted him was a guy that could put up a lot of points. He can score 20-plus goals in the OHL, but he has size. He's 6'6". He's over 200 pounds. This is a big guy. And big centers in the NHL, if they turn out to be what teams project them to be, that's a steal in any draft. But if someone's calling him a bust, it's obviously too early to tell. He was just drafted in 2016. But he'll be compared to a lot of players if he does become a bust when a Charlie McAvoy, who we've already talked about, gets drafted after him. A lot of other good players who could turn out were drafted in that first round as well. So we'll see what happens with Logan Brown. If you have him in a keeper league, I would certainly hang on to him, and I'd go out and try to get Logan Brown, because this guy has all the offensive capabilities in the world. He just has to start playing pro, and maybe that happens this year. He probably goes back to junior, but at some point you'd expect Logan Brown down the middle playing for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and he's 75% owned on Fantrax, which is only 2% less than Colin White, so I think Colin White's a little low at 77% because like we said, the Calder guys are way up in 90s, and Colin White's only 77%. I think that's a little low.
That's very low. I'm very surprised that Colin White's that low. If I was in a keeper league where he's available, I'd go out and get him right away, even with Logan Brown. Those are two very low percentages owned in those for Fantrax, for sure. But Colin White especially, he has a lot of offensive abilities. But Logan Brown, we've seen him do it in the OHL, and being in Ontario – especially with you, Peter, you saw this guy a lot, so I'd go out and get Logan Brown right away.
Yeah, I've seen him play a couple times. He's very impressive. He reminded me a little bit of Joe Thornton, the way he's got the size, but he doesn't use it very well, and he's more of a puck distributor than a sniper. So I think he's maybe more prone to shooting than Thornton is, and perhaps not as offensively creative and gifted as Joe either. But to be even close is tremendous. So let's move on to the next guy. Let's talk about a prospect that had a bit of a breakout season in the queue. He's aged out a junior as well, so we'll be able to see him play in Belleville if we make it to some games there. Philip Klapik. He had 91 points in 57 games last year. What's his NHL outlook and maybe his ETA?
Well, yeah, the Klapik. When you're a second-round pick and a guy that can score 91 points in the queue, it's kind of shocking that he goes late in the second round and maybe not at the end of the first round. But he's a guy that kind of blossomed in his third year in junior, had a very good postseason there as well. And this is a guy that has a really good shot. He's a center, which we've talked about a lot of centers already. The Ottawa Senators are very deep at that position, but it's probably the best position to be deep at other than defense. But Klapik, he looks very good, and just watching some highlights of him, got to see a couple of the playoff games in the queue. This guy looks good. He looks like he could project as an NHL or maybe a second or third liner. I'm hoping he starts in Belleville this season, but I'm sure he'll perform pretty well at the camp. But I expect this guy to be an NHLer, and if I'm in my keeper league, I'm looking at this guy as well. If a guy can score 91 points in junior, why not take him, especially 30-plus goals in two of the 3 years there? This is a guy that has a high outlook, and the Sens management has already said a lot of good things about him. So I'd go in and get him for sure.
Yeah, and he's only 38% owned in Fantrax. So yeah, you're going to get your chance at grabbing him. Another guy that's 36% owned, let's move to the back end, the goaltender Marcus Hogberg. Not likely going to be backing up with Mike Condon in the system, but is Hogberg a future starter a year or two away when maybe Craig Anderson slows down?
This is a tough one because you're always looking for goalies in drafts. You're always looking to steal a goalie if you're a team. And we've seen it. We've seen goalies go in the fifth round, seventh round. But this is a guy where the Ottawa Senators took him in the third round. He's played some pro hockey over in Sweden for a couple of years. But it's tough to project goalies, obviously. You still need to see what they have when they come over and play pro. And he only got a little of that last season with the then Binghamton Senators. I think he got into three games. He was 0-3, which, hey, it's a small sample size. You still don't know. But this is a big goalie, and we've seen a lot of big goalies from Sweden over the years do pretty well, but we've also seen a lot do not so well. So this is probably a guy where I'd be cautious. And you said it, Craig Anderson's probably got a couple more years in the NHL. He's getting up there in age. He's 36 years old. I don't know if Mike Condon will take over the starting duties there. I'd be shocked if he did. And just talking about goalies in their system, it was crazy to me that they were so high on Matt O'Connor a couple of years ago, and then they just let him go for nothing. So that could open up an opportunity for Hogberg. I just want to see more of him playing pro hockey first. So hopefully he gets some games down in Belleville this season.
Yeah, I think he kind of flamed out when he came over to the AHL last year. But, I mean, let's just dismiss that because, like you said, it's a small sample size. He's coming across the world after playing a full season. The time zone adjustment, culture adjustment, all those things. Size of the ice is a huge one for goalies with the angles and all that. So I'll reserve judgment on his play in the AHL until well into the season this year, and we'll see how he looks. I have high hopes for him. Another player who I kind of want to pick your brain on, we had some requests. We're running out of time. I wanted to get to Perron. I wanted to get up to Philip Ahl. But I'm going to be selfish since I'm the host, and I'm going to get one more guy out of you. I want to talk Pius Suter, who was just invited to the Sens rookie camp on a PTO. He's competing for a contract. Tell me what you think of Suter.
Suter looks very good, and he used to play in the OHL for the Guelph Storm, so got to see him a couple times there live, actually. And he was very good. He's a small guy. He's a forward, but he gets around on the ice. Obviously, being small, most of those guys have a lot of speed. And he's a guy that looks like has a lot of hockey sense, has very good passing abilities, but can also score. He scored 40-plus goals in a season in Guelph, and then went over to play in Zurich in the Swiss League. And I was telling you before the show, I started watching the Champions Hockey League tournament last week. I have a buddy playing out over there, so I actually was watching Suter's game, and he ends up scoring four goals. And I was like, who is this guy? And I had to remember that he played for Guelph a couple seasons back. And then obviously the news comes down the wire that the Ottawa Senators invite him to camp. So this is a guy that is getting a ton of experience in this Champions League tournament. It's a very competitive tournament, a ton of former NHLers over there. It's actually crazy to look at some of the rosters and remember some names that have gone through the AHL, gone through the NHL. But Suter's a guy where he looks good. He's one of the best players on his team over there. And if he comes over to North America and has a really good camp, this could be one of the best players on the Belleville Senators this year. And if he impresses that much, he could be one of the guys that gets called up. And obviously there's some other names that we really couldn't get to. And Nick Paul is probably getting a call up here and there. Francis Perron's a guy that we're talking about keeper leagues. Francis Perron's a guy that has a ton of offensive abilities. So he'll probably get a call up at some point as well. But Suter looks very good. And I'm expecting him to get a contract from the Ottawa Senators at some point.
Yeah, he's only 1% owned on Fantrax, so it doesn't get much lower than that. But since he doesn't have any NHL contract or affiliation, you probably can't even own him in most fantasy league formats. So he's someone who, at this point, you just want to put on your watch list. And if he gets a contract, see how he plays in the AHL this year, and just kind of keep your eye on him. Nick Paul is another player who I'm on the record of being a big fan, and I have high hopes for his NHL upside as well as a potential L6 power forward for the Sens in the future. But as we say, that's all the time we got for now. We got to wrap this part up, but I want to thank you very much for coming on, and catch him on a regular basis on SiriusXM NHL Network. channel 91, and you can follow him on Twitter at Tyler Mataraz 47.
The season's starting pretty soon, so I'm pretty sure I'll be back on Face-Off every other week with Boomer Gordon on the channel from 6 to 7 p.m. We break down all the games of the night. We give you some starting lineups. And then every other week as well, I'll be on Ice Caps after all the games are done. If you're in your car late or early in the morning, that's usually playing, and we'll give you the highlights. We'll break down all the games, talk about everything that happened. Usually something crazy happens every night in the NHL. You guys know that. So you can hear me there. And throughout the summer, hopefully with some more programming on the channel. But once again, thanks for having me, guys. It was a pleasure being on the program.
Yeah, no worries, Tyler. Have a good night. All right, thanks, Tyler, for some insight into some of the Ottawa prospects who are candidates to make the leap. We will have to invite him back throughout the season to check up on Francis Perron, Nick Paul, and maybe a few other Sens prospects. Again, you can follow Tyler on Twitter at TylerMataraz47. If you need the spelling, we will have a link on our show notes at dobberprospects.com. We also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in throughout the summer. Only one more week until prospect tournaments get going, and then training camps right after that. Don't forget, if you want to support Dobber Prospects Radio, you can head to patreon.com/DPRshow and become a DPR patron by becoming a draft eligible, a late round sleeper, a first rounder, a scout, or even a corporate sponsor. To get into the CHL fantasy pool and compete against myself and Peter, you'll need to become a late round sleeper. Only $3 a month. You could become a patron with as little as $1 a month. Go have a look. That's patreon.com/DPRshow. Next week, we will finish off the summer series with the Blue Jackets, Canadiens, Predators, Capitals, and a special guest talking about the Avalanche. One last shout out again to Daryl Dobbs. Hope you're able to listen and keep on fighting, Dobber. We're behind you. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at DPR_show. You can also follow or tweet our personal accounts at Zwambag, Zwambag, and at P Harling, Pharling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.